myself out of bed. Where the hell's my phone? Made a few drunken calls, but still slept alone. Why do I do the things I do and say the things I say? Water to fix my head, coffee to shake me up. Forget the things I did when I was so messed up. I'm overthinking, head is shrinking when I hit replay. Now I'm trying damn hard to turn back time and just forget last night. Cause I spent all my money on the things that I don't need. It's in my wallet since I threw it out last week. All the time, but somehow I just can't sleep. Oh man, I say I'm really living the dream.
You just heard a snippet of the new single Living the Dream by country artist Braden King. Even though Braden King is fairly new to the country music scene, there has been so much buzz about him the past few months. Braden reached top 55 for American Idol this year. It has been a whirlwind for him ever since. Here to talk about his experience on the show, his new single, and about being out on tour with his good friend Beamer Wigley is country artist Braden King. Hey, Braden, how are you?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It has been such a whirlwind for you, I bet, the last few months.
Life has gotten pretty crazy. I can't lie. It's been a big step up from where we were a year ago or even 2 years ago when I started my solo career. So I'm pretty happy with how things are going right now.
Let's talk about a bit about your background, and for fans that may not know you, because you're fairly new, you know, to the country music scene here in Canada. So let's talk a bit about what your influences were growing up.
For sure. Well, growing up, I hate to say this, but I truthfully despised country music. I refused to like it as a kid. I was like, I don't want to like it. Mom, shut that off. Like, I don't want to hear it. I like Nickelback, and that's what I like. And I like rock music, and I don't want to like any country music. And that's how my mindset was, truthfully. And it's so funny looking back on that, because I didn't hate country music. I just hated the idea of liking country music.
Wow.
It was so weird. So weird. And I grew up playing in a cover band in my hometown of Weyburn, Saskatchewan. I started that band at about 14 or 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always get country song requests. And I was like, okay, I guess we'll add in Dust on the Bottle or all these like classic country songs that people really dance to and love it. And I started to like it more and more and more. And then one time I went to a campfire and my friends told me to bring my guitar, and every song that my best friends were requesting was Luke Combs and John Party and Morgan Wallen. And I'm like, okay, well, if this is what my friends like, I gotta learn it. I gotta figure this out. And I went and did a deep dive on a bunch of country music and found that there is a lot of country music that I love. And now it's something, it's what I listen to primarily now, plus still quite a bit of rock and roll, except now I love country music. And it's funny that the kid that said he hated country music is now a country artist. So it's funny how that happened.
My son was the same way, because he grew up with me listening to classic rock and R&B and so many different genres, but country was not one of them. And I don't know what it was. I think the more and more I got into the business and more I was shooting and doing interviews, the more requests I was getting for the country festivals. And my son used to hate it when I'd be doing previews or just doing a bit of research on each of the artists that I was going to be interviewing. And he'd go, please, please don't play that. And now he does nothing but listen to country. It is like so weird.
Oh, yeah.
It grows on you.
It's something about being a teenager. You want to find something to dislike. You don't want to like what everybody else likes. I don't know.
Do you think it's the cliche that everybody thinks what country music, I think a lot of people have that misconception of what it's about. And they think it's just about the beer songs and the truck and, you know, going fishing. And it's really not. Like, yes, there is those songs, but real country music isn't about that.
Totally. Yeah. And the nice thing about country music now is it's such a broad genre that, like, there is, you know, rock elements in a lot of the country music now.
Huge.
And then there's so many pop elements in so, lots of the country songs now. And basically, I've found that now there is a style of country music for just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the people that love hip-hop and stuff like that, well, there are country rap songs now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so wild. And it's funny. I've always loved the Eagles.
And me too.
Now I'm like, the Eagles made so many country songs. Like, they are
they did.
Country mm-hmm. songs. So, yeah, there's something for everybody in this genre, and it's really cool to see.
I think a lot of the influences, like when you're talking about the Eagles, we were just discussing this in an interview yesterday about a lot of those songs that it could have been crossover for them. But back then, they weren't doing that. And now you're seeing so much more of that. Like, look at Corey Marks. You know, he's rock all the way through, but man, he does it well. David Boyd James, you got Dallas Smith. There's so many. Andrew Hyatt, that add all of that rock influence to it. There's so many artists out there that are really bringing the rock influence in there. So yeah, very cool. Kadoo is another one.
Totally. Yeah, it's so cool to see. And like, I'm definitely drawn more toward the rock side of things because mm-hmm. of what I liked when I was younger and what I still love. But it's cool. I was actually talking to a rock band from Ontario a week ago. We met up in Kamloops, and they're called the Glorious Sons.
Oh, huge.
And we were talking about how there's so many rock artists that are bringing country artists on as their openers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nickelback has Brantley Gilbert and Josh Ross, and Guns N' Roses just announced that they're bringing Carrie Underwood out. And I'm like, this is so cool. The genres are like working together, and it's amazing.
Well, they do, like Gloria Sons you're talking about and Nickelback, they write so much country music. So much country music. And a lot of the fans don't know that. They are huge when it comes to a lot of the songs that you're hearing out there. They have had a hand in. So, yeah. And they're playing at Boots
totally.
And Hearts, too. They're playing at Boots and Hearts this year.
They are, yeah, with Hardy, too. Mm-hmm. And Hardy is jumping over into the rock side, which is so cool, too. I love that guy.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard Corey Marks?
I have, yeah. Actually, a friend of mine that I was just on tour with, Beamer Wigley, grew up on the same label as Corey, so we were talking a lot about his music, and I listen to Corey Marks all the time. I just love his tunes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's crossed over a couple times, and he's been playing with some of the best known rock acts out there and playing in the States quite a bit, and really made a name for himself when it comes to the rock world. But yeah, it's so hard to, you know, when you're trying to chase radio, which is something that I think, you know, we talk about so often here on the show about young artists that are coming up and really trying to navigate, trying to find their own brand, trying to find where they fit into the genre. Have you found that difficult so far?
I have, for sure. It's funny that I never really saw radio being an avenue for me
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to... I wanted to do the, kind of the rock and roll side of country, which a lot of times doesn't really get picked up on country radio.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, my first real single that I released a couple months ago called Living the Dream was right around the time as things were kind of blowing up a bit for me with all the American Idol stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I had all these radio stations approach me. They're like, we can't find it in the radio database, but we want to play it. Like, can you send us the song? And all, there was so much demand that I was like, okay, if there's demand for this song on radio, I can't not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went ahead and put that song on radio, and it did okay. And I'm still learning a lot about navigating the radio world and getting a lot of advice from friends and fellow artists that mm-hmm. have a lot of experience. And now I kind of want to still make those songs that I know would never go on the radio, but we would just release those songs to streaming platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Except I still want to keep giving radio a shot, and kind of like, as soon as I finish a song, I'm like, okay, like that could work on radio or it couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I never write for radio, but sometimes it just ends up that way, and it's like, okay, that could work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a handful of songs in our back pocket now that are like, okay, when the time comes for another radio single, this will be the one,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I think you'll learn as you go, as you're starting to learn and navigate this business, because it is exactly that. It's a business. And for yourself, learning to write and just continue focusing on what you relate to, what you're living in the moment, why you want to write that song in particular, that is what's going to steer you in the right direction. Whenever you're trying to write to radio, it's never going to work. It's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing, and you'll get that when you start really building yourself, building those connections that you need in this business. And I know country is just such a wonderful genre when it comes to community supporting each other. It's just a very tight-knit group, and I think you're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah, I've really found that it is exactly that. It's a tight-knit group, and everybody kind of knows everybody,
mm-hmm.
which is super cool. I'm part of the Alberta Country Music Association, and I went to my first CMAB Awards in 2022
mm-hmm.
as a newcomer that nobody knew. They just knew I was a giant. And that was it. And I went.
You must get so tired of hearing that.
Oh yeah, but
see, I didn't say anything.
I know, it's okay. It's totally okay, because in this business, it is a business.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have every possible way to stand out. And people might forget my name, but they're not going to forget the fact that I'm a giant. And it definitely works in my favor a lot of times, which is super, super great. It gets a little annoying when somebody comes up and they're like, hey, I have a question for you. And like, I just know what the question is, so I just answer right away. I'm like, 6'9", 6'9". Like, I just tell them right away, which they're like, oh, you must get that a lot. And I'm like, yeah, I do.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. But it's funny, because so that was 2022. I went to those awards and newcomer, and was just felt so welcomed in.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year when I went in 2023, I wasn't nominated for anything, or I was just going to see the people and everything, and
mm-hmm.
it was so cool that everybody that I wanted to talk to already knew who I was and already knew what
awesome.
Was going on. And it was such a crazy cool experience, and such a blessing that, like,
mm-hmm.
within a year, things just really, like, took off. And I understand why. Like,
mm-hmm.
we played so many shows, like I lost count, but in the last 2 years it's been over 200
mm-hmm.
shows. And
mm-hmm.
it's like I just kind of took on the mindset of, like, I can't let people forget about me, because attention spans in this day and age are so short that you gotta keep hitting them
mm-hmm.
all the time. So it's been a couple of years of just really grinding it out, and it's not stopping anytime mm-hmm. soon, because we know that's what we have to do.
You have to.
It's just,
yeah.
I just love the grind. I love playing shows all the time. I love writing new songs and recording. I love every aspect of it. So mm-hmm. I do everything as much as I possibly can.
It's a really cool experience if your mindset's in the right place. When you're going to the award shows and you walk in there as a newcomer, like you did last year, when you're walking in, you're seeing all the other people, you're seeing all the veterans normally, you know, they all know each other, so they're networking and they really look forward to those shows because they don't often get to see each other because everybody's off doing their own thing. And the award shows, they get to see each other, but they've been in the same place as you. Like you said, this year, people knew who you were. And you're going to be standing beside a lot of newcomers coming up too, just like you. And it's great to network because you never know, like the person standing beside you could be going through for music engineer. You know, somebody might be, you know, going through as producer, promoter, and they're going to remember your voice. They're going to remember who you are if you make the efforts to go in and do that networking. And they might have a song that might suit your voice. Hey, you know what? We met this guy. And it just all starts to evolve and snowball from there, right? And you just start really developing your hardcore people that you know that you can trust and build, you know, your business and your brand around, because it is a business for you, right? You're building your own brand. And it's just such a cool experience when you look at it, because like 10 years from now, you go to walk into an award show, you're going to be going, man, we're the veterans. And hey, we can pick out the newcomers when they're coming in here. And you remember what that feeling's like and how, you know, your friendship started building just from that split second introduction.
Totally. Yeah. And it's so easy to just be a nice person mm-hmm. when you go into these things, because doing that alone and just being a kind, genuine person, anytime you get like introduced to someone new or you run into someone new, like just being nice to absolutely everybody, it goes such a long way, because like people might not remember the nice guy mm-hmm. but they will remember the guy that was rude to them,
the diva. Yep.
You know, and like I never want to be that guy, because mm-hmm. like in my short time in the industry, I've met some people that were that guy, and like I hold on to that. But then when I see the people that like probably didn't need to give me the time of day but they did, mm-hmm. I remember that, and it means the world to me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've been able to build, like, I have a really small team. It's really just my band and my agent, and we work really hard all together, and I trust everyone mm-hmm. so much. And oh, I guess my radio team now too,
for sure. Yes.
But like it's all about like working with people that like you can tell that they genuinely care about you as a person and mm-hmm. your well-being. Mm-hmm. Because some people might just see dollar signs, right?
They do. You know, it comes with the territory, but you'll know and you'll be able to learn the more and more you keep an eye out on what you want to develop and what your sound and being open, being a sponge, getting out there and writing with as many people as you can and just developing your sound, because it's going to take time. You might think you have it now, and then 2 years from now, you're going to go, oh man, when I listen to the songs, you know, that I released earlier, there's just always growth, and it's just such a wonderful thing. And just go with it, and you'd be surprised in how well you'll do just with that kind of mindset.
So many people ask me, they're like, so where do you want to be in a year or 2 years or 3 years? Do you want to be playing this festival? Do you want to have this many streams or this many followers? My answer has been and always will be that I don't feel like I'm in competition with anybody except for myself. Mm-hmm. And my goal for this year, I've already reached it, because I'm doing better this year than I was last year. And for next year, the goal is to do better than I am this year. And mm-hmm. it might not always be in numbers. It might just be in my happiness in my career or whatever, except I always just want to outwork myself, because I don't feel like, especially in country, it doesn't feel like a competition mm-hmm. against anybody.
Mm-hmm. they support each other. Yeah, they really root for each other.
Totally. And I see those, the CCMAs and the CMABs, I see those events as everybody coming together to celebrate everybody's success.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to celebrate one person or just the people that are nominated or the people that are getting awards. It's everybody that's there and working hard to build the country music scene as a whole, all mm-hmm. together. And it's such a community. Like, that word just keeps popping up in my mind because it really is a community. And
it's a family.
It's everyone working together.
Mm-hmm. It's a real family, and they all care about each other. And out in Alberta, they have got some incredible artists that are so good at writing. They are so good at what they do in their craft, and they are such huge supporters of the newcomers coming in.
100%. I agree. Like, I'll take Kyle McKerney, for example. I've been a huge, huge fan of him since I heard his first single,
mm-hmm.
and got to meet him at the first year's awards, and we had a quick little conversation. And then, like, we kept in touch and, like, kept connecting, and sure enough, now we're writing together, and he's giving me advice on my career and all this stuff, and I'm like, he doesn't need to do that,
mm-hmm.
but we just see each other as, like, friends, you know? We're just working together, and it's super, super cool, and I've found that with so many artists that, like, just have really taken the time to say hi and just build a connection, right?
Mm-hmm. Beamer, I love Beamer. He is just such an amazing human being and such a talent, too. And being out on tour with him, you know, that's got to be pretty cool, too, because he can share a lot with you as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's Wednesday today. I just dropped him off at home on Monday, and it was a sad time.
Oh.
It's like, wow, we just spent 2 weeks together and we had so much fun, and it was such a growing experience for the both of us. Like, we booked that tour together, just mm-hmm. the two of us. We booked it together and we worked hard to promote it, and every show went great, and we were so proud of what we built and what we did as independent artists. And yeah, it was such a treat to work with him and to watch his show every night and watch his show evolve from the first night of tour to the last night of tour.
Mm-hmm.
Because we shared the same band. We used my band.
Oh, cool.
So my band that's used to playing with me. And then Beamer, like, he met that bass player for the first time the day of their first show, right? So it's like he was getting used to that, and he hasn't played a lot of live shows, especially full band shows, since pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I started post-COVID, so we've been really in the swing of things. And for him, it was like, okay, come on, jump on the roller coaster, let's go. And oh man, it was such an experience, and I can't even pinpoint what show was the best because they were all great, and I can't, like, we just
good
had
for you. Good for you.
The best time. It was so great.
That's awesome to hear. I love that. There's so many, I'm just trying to think of everybody that's out there. There's so many artists, like Andrew Hyatt, of course, but you've got Aaron Pritchett as well. You've got Devin Cooper. There's so many that are such great artists out there that you could write with.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And Devin, that's another one. I've been a fan of his for quite some time, and we got connected like half a year ago, and now we're like best buds. We hang out whenever I'm in Calgary. I just go to his house and we hang out, and we've actually never written a song together because we always get...
He's good.
Neither of us can stop talking long enough to actually write a song. So
his motorcycles, you know, and his guitars.
Oh, man. I just get lost in his little studio there because he's got all these guitars and sounds and stuff, and I'm just like so intrigued by everything that he's got there. And it's like, oh, he's such a treat to hang out with, and, mm-hmm. and one of the kindest guys.
World and, of oh, man, knowledge he has too. He is such
totally.
An incredible writer, but he works so hard and he goes at this in a way that he's very smart, extremely smart and very talented. One of my favorite people. He's such a great talent.
Honestly, me too. I've learned so much from him just in our conversations. He might not think that I've learned a lot, but like just hearing how he talks about how he grew his career is just so inspiring. And it's like, well, if he can do it, I can do the same thing.
He's a straight shooter. He's a straight shooter. He'll tell you like it is. And he's got a world of knowledge. And yeah, he is one person that you definitely can lean on and trust, because he is just such an incredible, honest, humble human being and such a great artist.
100%. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Very cool. Well, that's so exciting. You got to tell us about this tour. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But let's just go into some of the processing for you when it comes to your songwriting. When did you discover that songwriting was something that you wanted to do? Because a lot of artists out there don't write at all, and they connect with songs when they're pitched to them. When did you decide that you wanted to pursue that end of it?
I think it was like as soon as I got a guitar for the first time, honestly. I started making up songs when I was 9 years old, probably. My mom, who passed away last year, she would always tell this.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was really my biggest fan and such an inspiration for me to, like, even when she got sick, she told me to stay on the road and keep going. And that's what I did. And she's a huge inspiration for why I still work as hard as I do, because I know that's exactly what she would want.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she's with you every step of the way.
Oh, of course she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I have that in common, because I lost my mom too. Not long ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So we both have that in common. So, you know, when we care and we have that kind of close connection, it's amazing how you can feel them with you all the time.
It really is. Yeah. And, I feel her every night, you know, and, it brings me a lot of comfort. Just like, I know she's with me, and I got her favorite song tattooed on my arm and her
what song was
handwriting.
It?
So
what's the favorite song of hers?
Cover of the Rolling Stone by Dr. Hook.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. What about your dad?
We actually play that song every single night, and I dedicate it to her every night.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
And she would always tell this story to like friends and family that like I must have been like 11 or something, like young, and we were in a store, and I was like tapping on her arm. I was like, mom, give me the keys. She's like, what? Like, what do you need? And I'm like, I got a song idea, I gotta go to the car. And like she gave me the keys at like 11 or 12, and I just went and sat in the car, and I had my little journal with me, and I wrote a song.
Wow.
And like it was just it was always something that like I'd always have lyrics pop into my head, and it was like it's something that found me, really. Mm-hmm. Like I just found a lot of enjoyment in it, and music is something that I always connected with very easily, especially in tough times in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I always just go to my guitar, right?
It's therapeutic,
and,
isn't it?
Yeah. So songwriting really found me, and I've honed the craft. And I'm still working on it. I don't say that I'm a great songwriter by any means, but especially now finding the co-writing and working with people that I would consider to be better than me has helped kind of, I don't know, look at it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, sometimes songs come out very easily and I can write them by myself, but sometimes you need someone's insights on your song idea. And Living the Dream, for example, that song would have never seen the light of day had I not took it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the first verse and the first chorus, and that's all I had. And
okay.
I didn't know where to go. The people that I co-wrote the rest with really helped me figure the rest out.
It's interesting when you end up going to Nashville, and I think it's just such a huge experience when you're going in there and you're writing three songs a day, and everybody that starts out in the business are afraid to speak up. They're afraid to shoot out an idea because they're sitting in with veterans that do this for a living all day long. And I think the one piece of advice they'll always say is be afraid to say something, because your input could spark somebody else, and vice versa.
I definitely found myself in my first couple of co-writes being afraid to say something stupid.
But it's nothing stupid, right? Like, it's all great, because you never know what your idea or just something that you've said might spark somebody else. And same thing, they might say something that sparks you. And that's what that whole process is about, is just being a sponge and being open, and egos to the door, and everybody goes in there just to write. And whether or not you kill it that day, or whether or not it's a couple of weeks in the write, it's always going to happen. There's going to be times where it's easy, times where it's not so easy, right?
Exactly. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I am so excited for you. Really excited for you, because you've got a phenomenal voice. You definitely have that rock edge to you. There's no doubt you got that grit to your voice, which I always love. It's just something that I gravitate to, something that I personally really like. Is there a song that touched you? I know you've got your mom's favorite, but is there a song when you listen back to music, when you really started to dive into different albums and different artists, is there a song that touched you emotionally, that you connected with and really inspired you to really push for this music career?
Oh man, that's a big question. Honestly, I don't know if I could pinpoint one song, but in my ages of 14, 15, 16, I was really, really inspired by Ed Sheeran.
Great songwriter. There you go.
Incredible, right? Mm-hmm. And his music really, really inspired me. And I don't know if there's a song that gave me that.
But his style, yeah.
That hit, mm-hmm. Except there was a moment that I would love to tell you about. I lived in Belgium for a year. Right after I graduated high school, I went on a exchange program.
Oh, wow.
And it was a life-changing experience. I loved every minute of it. I met so many great people and had so many great experiences. But there was one experience that changed my life. And it was at night, and I was walking back to the train station in Brussels. Mm-hmm. And I heard this guitar in the distance, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I just kind of walked toward the sound, and there was this man standing on the corner, and he was playing an Ed Sheeran song, just playing guitar. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, could I sing that with you? And he started the song again, and we did it. And we both kind of looked at each other, and it was like this big magical moment. And there was a crowd of people that kind of surrounded us, and it was really cool. And we exchanged numbers, and for the last couple months of my exchange year, we busked around Brussels together, just playing songs
cool.
for people. And at that point, I didn't really know if I could chase a music career, or I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself. And that man that moved from Russia to Belgium just to play music on the street, he's like, Braden, you've got it, you can do this. And I was really?
Awesome.
He's like, dude, you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a song about that experience. It's called Down That Road. And it's really about my experience with that guy, with that busker. And I don't know if I would have taken the jump
what a great
done
story.
What I'm doing without that specific experience. Mm-hmm. So that was really life-changing.
Very cool. That's an awesome story. I love that. I love seeing that kind of experience with somebody, because there always is a turning point for all of us. Doesn't matter what career we're chasing, but there is always a moment where that decision's made for you. That is a cool story. Thank you for sharing that. That's pretty cool.
Very of course, cool. Yeah. It changed my life for sure.
If we jumped in your vehicle right now and turned on the radio, what would we hear? What would you be listening to?
I am listening to right now a lot of Brothers Osborne, The Cadillac 3.
I love The Cadillac 3.
So good.
Yeah.
And there's a rock band called Goodbye June that I've been really, really into right now. And I listen to them a lot on the road with Beamer, actually.
I don't think I know that band.
They are really, really cool. I'm not sure where they're from, but I know that they opened for Greta Van Fleet on their first tour.
Okay.
And yeah, I love Greta Van Fleet as well. And
You know who you'll have to check out? You know who you'll have to check out? The Commoners.
The Commoners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm writing that down right now.
Yeah, the Toronto band. They are really good. Well, they're from Ottawa, but they're based out of Toronto now. But they are really good. They love the classic rock, and he plays, like, the lead singer sounds like the Guess Who.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm. He's got such a unique voice, but he could carry anything. But, man, he's talented. They're all talented, every single one of them that play in that band.
Well, I'm going to have to go listen right after this.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard the Prairie States?
Oh, I love the Prairie States.
I know. I love them. I am so happy that when I did that interview, I wasn't familiar with their music, but boy, they are so good. Really good.
They are just as good on the record as they are live. I got to see them. They played the Country Music Alberta Awards kickoff party, and I was just blown away by what they did. And I got to chat with all of them that weekend, and yeah, they're the nicest guys as well, and I've actually been listening to their music quite a bit. I love that song, Low Life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's such a great tune.
There's so many. These guys have got such a huge career, and I just pray they just keep on going, because I don't think the world has heard them like they should, and I'm really looking forward to continuing to have them on the show so we can expose them to all of our international listeners, because it's just, yeah, they are just one really cool band. Very cool band.
They're so awesome and such down-to-earth guys, and I think it's really just the beginning for them.
Definitely.
They've got such a huge career coming.
Definitely. What is the last album that you listened to from front to back?
Oh, from front to back, the last album that I listened to was Kyle McCurney's newest record.
Mm.
Nice. And I thought it was absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Yeah. Very wise choice. That's very cool. So you've got a really deep history when it comes to music.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like I said, my mom always loved country, mm-hmm. and would always have it on. And like, I think like...
Did she have a favorite country artist that she liked?
Oh, she loved everything. She was huge for the Eagles as well. Loved Brad Paisley.
Mm.
And I remember, like, she's from Mydale, Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Johnner Brothers are from. And
so she would love
them too.
She
always had a Johnner Brothers record going.
Very cool. Very cool.
I actually get to play with the Johnner Brothers this summer in my mom's hometown.
No way.
Which I think she would think is like the coolest thing ever.
Oh, your dad must be just so emotional when he sees you up on the stage.
Oh, he loves it. He comes anytime he can, and I think he's even making a couple of road trips to Alberta to see us play this summer. And even though we'll be in Saskatchewan as well, he's going to come to Alberta too. So,
oh, God,
yeah,
love him.
So proud and just loves the shows, and he'll tell every friend he has about our shows, and
proud dad.
Yeah, and very supportive from the beginning, both of them, which I couldn't be more thankful for.
Father's Day is coming up. Do you have a special thing that you like to do with your dad, just the two of you?
I love fishing with my dad. I also love golfing with my dad, which I haven't got to do either of them for, well, I guess we got to go ice fishing in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've gotten a lot busier, it's a bit difficult. And last summer was a weird one, to say the least, with my mom being sick and everything.
Very much so, yeah.
But I'm very happy that I'm going to have a couple of weeks that I get to go spend at Catepwa Lake in Saskatchewan, which is where my dad lives now. We've been going there since I was a kid, and we've got our boat and golf course is nice and close. So I'm sure we'll get to do lots of that this summer together. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wouldn't that be special for him, for you just to carve out that time? Because I know how busy you get. But just to carve out that little bit of time on Father's Day. And just say, hey, you know what? Let's just get out in the boat. Go out first thing in the morning. And just watch that, the sunrise, and just be together. That would be pretty cool for him, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're definitely going to make some time to do some of that together.
Very cool. Let's talk a little bit about being a contestant on American Idol, because the reality shows I've been a part of, I did the Canadian Idol for years, worked with that. So I do know a lot of what goes on, you know, for these shows. What was it like for you? You got a DM, so what started the journey for you? From TikTok, right?
Yeah, a casting producer had seen me on TikTok and actually sent me a DM on Instagram. So that's kind of where it all started. And I did a couple of virtual auditions just over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they invited me to Las Vegas to audition for the Celebrity Judges. So
pretty insane.
I figured I couldn't turn it down. So that's how I got started.
That's very cool, because I know that a lot of parts people complain about when it comes to the reality shows and that, but it is an amazing launching pad as well, and it does really help so many of the artists. And just a nerve-wracking experience, I would imagine, for you, because you made it, you know, into the top 55. That's pretty cool, because that was a part of the really grueling, you know, part that everybody watches on TV and stuff. What was that like for you to be a part of that Hollywood Week?
Hollywood Week was, to say the least, exhausting. long days, but so much fun at the exact same time. Like being with all the other contestants, even when we were so tired after filming all day, we would go back to the hotel rooms and grab our guitars and jam and talk about our careers and music inspirations and everything under the sun. And I think the biggest thing that I took out of all of it was such a great group of friends,
mm-hmm.
to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Something you can bond over, because you're all going through that experience, a very unique experience, very high pressure experience together. And that kind of friendship lasts a lifetime. So it's pretty cool. Did you meet Samuel? Because Samuel also was on American Idol, but he never made it. He wasn't televised, but he was there too. He's such a great singer.
I don't think I ever met Samuel.
Oh,
the
really?
The only Canadians that I remember meeting were Tyson Venegas,
mm-hmm.
who actually got the platinum ticket. He's from Vancouver, made it into the top 26. And then same with Emma Bussey, who was originally from Vancouver and also made it into the top 26.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, you have to check out Samuel too, because he's like an R&B singer. Such an incredible voice. You know, I know that a lot of the contestants can't say anything, you know, for quite a few months. And so we never saw him on the TV, but yeah, I was rooting for him too. So it was so cool. You know, such a great experience for everybody. What was it like for you to meet the judges and Ryan Seacrest?
It was really cool. Didn't get to spend a whole bunch of time with the judges, like one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But the time that I did spend with them was really great. They were so, so kind and supportive, and all of the criticism was extremely constructive.
Mm-hmm.
And they had nothing but great things to say. And I was really, really appreciative of their feedback. And I was just happy to be a part of it and be in their presence.
Well, it's 160 finalists, right? Somewhere around there, 150, 160 finalists that
I believe, got the golden ticket.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. A lot of people, a lot of competition, crazy, crazy schedule. And your dad, that was really special. I know that that's not an easy thing either. Like when you lose a parent and, you know, just, it's just something that, you know, so many people were able to connect to your story.
So yeah, that was a little weird, to be honest. It was kind of like a, a bit of a blessing in disguise, because I got to do the announcement that I'd gotten the golden ticket and that I made it as far as I did and everything like that. And there were so many supporters in Canada. And
huge.
I don't think that my career would be anywhere near where it's at right now had I not done what I did with American Idol. So mm-hmm. I'm still very thankful for the experience.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm glad that you took that journey. And I'm sure your mom, you know, she is just such a special time for her too, because she knows it's a big part of your heart. And sometimes we got to step out of our comfort zone just to get there. And once we get there, then, you know, that improvement just keeps on coming, that growth. And it's just something that is so, so special when we get to watch your journey from here. And I'm really proud of you. Really proud of you, my friend.
Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it.
Take a look at Samuel Harness is what his name is. He is the other Canadian.
Oh, Samuel Harness?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Is
what did
he
I
Canadian?
Say? Yeah.
I didn't think he was Canadian.
I think so. Pretty sure.
Oh.
Maybe not.
Well, if he's Canadian, yeah, I know Samuel Harness very well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. We actually auditioned in Vegas together.
Okay.
And, yeah, we went all the way through together, and he made the top 55 as well, and, yeah.
Because he wasn't televised either, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's not Canadian. I thought he was Canadian. Have to look again.
I'm positive that he's not Canadian.
Okay.
But I do know him quite well.
I loved his voice. I was so rooting to see him. I was looking and looking. I said, okay, where did he go? And it was only because of the song that he had posted on Instagram that I found him. And yeah, he's just such a huge talent. Huge talent.
Oh yeah, his voice just blows me away. He's so incredible.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised that, you know, he wasn't on there. I was like, whoa. But I do understand what they do too in the show, because they have to have so many people in each kind of category, I guess, right?
Definitely. And I really found that it is a TV show, and mm-hmm. ratings do matter a lot. So it's very much, it's just as much about the talent as it is about the story that people will connect to.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely understood why I may have not gotten any airtime, because there were people that they saw as maybe not more deserving of airtime, but maybe just more marketable for the show.
I think, too, where they're looking at, you know, people that slide into the country category, and then they got to kind of wean it down, right, to how many people are in that category. And then same thing, if they have some R&B singers, if they have that they can bring forward in character as well, too. There's a lot that goes into it. But you've done
totally
incredibly well. Top 55, that's something to be pretty darn proud of.
For sure. Yeah, I'm definitely proud of that.
Well, congratulations on that end of it. And now we're going to be talking about your single. We're going to play two singles today. Okay, because I want people to get used to your voice and get used to the kind of music that you're putting out there. The first one we're going to be playing is Living the Dream. So we talked about that a little bit. We started that conversation earlier in the show. Tell me about the writing of the song.
For sure. Living the Dream, I started writing it at least like a year and a half ago, probably way longer than that, 2 years ago, probably. And it's a song that really, like, when I first wrote, like, the verse and the chorus, it was like, okay, yeah, that's good enough. But, like, I just kind of put it in my back pocket. And then I got reconnected with a friend in Edmonton named Mark Mackler.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just at the same show together. And he was like, man, like, we got to get together and write together. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So a couple of days later, I went over to his house and played him a couple of things that I was working on, and Living the Dream was included in that. That day we wrote what at the time felt like a finished song.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I took it back home, I was like, oh, it doesn't feel finished. Like, I loved the second verse, but it just didn't feel like it went where it needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had just, like, extended the chorus, the second chorus, with the, we repeated the same melody and we just put new words there.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel perfect. And then I had just gotten back from Los Angeles visiting some friends and had another write booked with a guy named Drew Shalka, who is in a band called FKB, and they're a very much like pop rock band. But
I've had them on the show.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're very aware. But Drew also works a lot in the country world and,
he does,
and writes with a lot of folks. And I was like, well, I got this thing, and he came up with the like the you know I got my reasons. And when he sang that, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's it, that's it. And like within 20 minutes, like the song is finished, and then I like.
Nice.
I sent it to Mark, and I was like, hey, Mark, like, we did this. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I love it. Kind of sat on it for a while and made a demo and started playing it live quite a bit, and people really liked it live. And I was like, okay, cool, let's go record this. And I kind of had four songs that were fully recorded, fully ready, and it was like, okay, what are we going to put out first? Like, I've released stuff in the past, but mm-hmm. it wasn't at the same level of quality and, mm-hmm. and everything. I was like, what's going to be my real introduction? And at this time, I kind of knew that American Idol was going to be around this time, and I was like, okay, so what's it going to be? And we picked Living the Dream because it's got a very anthemic chorus that's very kind of like it's like an earwormy song that it's like once it's in your head it
kind of sits with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it rents some space up there.
Yeah, and it had some poppy elements to it. It wasn't too harsh, and it was just like it made a lot of sense as like a first real like commercial single.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what the decision was for the song. And like now we just finished 2 weeks on the road, and every single night I got people singing it, and I'm like, this is the coolest
that
thing.
Has to be cool to hear ever. Your fans singing that back to you, knowing the words of your song. It's such a cool experience that never gets old. It never does.
No, I never want that to end. I just wanted to keep getting more and more people knowing the song and singing it back to me. The less singing I have to do, the better, honestly.
Well, you want them to sing it. You do really want them to sing it. It is really cool. Yeah. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the latest single, Living the Dream, by country artist Braden King, here on Music's Journey.
Myself out of bed. Where the hell's my phone? Made a few drunken calls, but still slept alone. Why do I do the things I do and say the things I say? Water to fix my head, coffee to shake me up. Forget the things I did when I was so messed up. I'm overthinking, head is shrinking when I hit replay. Trying them hard to turn back time and just forget last night. Cause I spent all my money on the things that I don't need. It seemed my wallet since I threw it out last week. All the time, but somehow I just can't sleep. Oh man, I say I'm really living the dream. Oh yeah, I say. Don't care, cold shoulders got me feeling chills in the August air. Bar is spinning, drinks are spilling, and I'm out the door. Now I'm standing on the street, drunk and alone, and I got no way back home. Cause I spent all my money on the things that I don't need. It's in my wallet since I threw it out last week. All the time.
week. Overtime, but somehow I just can't sleep. Oh man, I say I'm really living the dream. Don't really know how I'm feeling. Maybe I'm going off the deep end. I'm living the dream.
That was the latest single, Living the Dream, by my very special guest, country artist Braden King. Don't forget, you can download your copy on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist, and you can share it. You can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Very well done. This one does sit with you. It really does sit with you. What was it like for you to hear it on mainstream radio for the first time?
It was such a cool experience because I never thought that my music would fit on the radio.
Surprise, surprise.
It's so crazy. And here we are. Like, it's on the radio now. It's like kind of like a mind-blowing experience to hear it. And like, also I think the coolest was having a bunch of friends and family and fans hearing it on the radio for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And they all like videotape their radio and like and send me a Snapchat or a video or whatever.
Nice.
And they're like, oh my gosh, I hear it on the radio right now. And it's like, that excitement is like, it can't beat it. Especially I think my dad called me and he was like in his truck, and I think he said he had like just got out of his truck to go drop something off, and then he got back in his truck and he heard it playing and he's like, well, did my phone connect or what? And then he looks and he's like, no, I'm on the radio. It's the radio. And like, so that's so cool too. Yeah, it does not get old.
Oh, that is so cool. Special moment. Those are going to be one of those moments that you're going to pick up, because the one thing in this industry we talk about with the artists too is that when you get into the grind, you start having that success and that momentum starts building, it's hard to take a moment and just soak it all in because you're just so excited. You're so excited to get out there in live performances. You're booking and you're doing everything you can just to get from one show to the next. And in a lot of the time, you know, you're traveling so much and you're performing for a couple hours, but then you're traveling a lot. And you just want to be able to take a moment on that stage. Just take a snapshot in your memory, because those are the moments you're going to pull out 20 years from now. What it was like when you
totally
first started out. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, thank you. It's been interesting, like, with how I don't think my life has been this busy ever. Like, the last 3 months have just been the hardest I've ever worked.
Mm-hmm.
And the most fun I've ever had, because I just like, God, seeing something that you have worked so hard toward,
mm-hmm,
really pay off, and seeing people buy your tickets and listen to your song, it's like, even though it's still like at a smaller scale, it's a huge scale for me right now.
Well, yeah, like this is your way up, right? This is the starting point. And this is a cool part. This is the part I love being a part of, and just being able to watch that journey from the beginning and seeing just that development and how much growth and the confidence that starts to build. And yeah, you're on your way, my friend. You're on your way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about your special tour that you just finished doing. You've been playing that, and it's kind of going with the song that you just released. You did a remix of it, something that you released earlier in your career. And you've redone that song, and you've named the tour after that song. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was... Bad Night to Be a Beer was a song I wrote by myself in 15 minutes, just based off of one thing that a good friend of mine said. And he walked up... We were having a party, like just a lake party, very Southern Saskatchewan style, and he came up to me and he's like, Braden, every time we get together, it's a bad night to be a beer. And I was like, wow, that's cool. I like that. So I pulled out my phone and I wrote that down. And then couple days later, I was working a maintenance job for the summer, and this particular morning, my work partner and I were not working very hard. I just had the whole song just kind of pop into my head, and we sat on the back of the work truck, and I wrote every lyric, and I'm singing into my phone, and next thing you know, I go home after work, and I recorded a demo in like 3 hours, and I was like, whoa, this is cool, like, awesome. Got working on, like, recording it, and I worked with a good friend of mine out of Regina to record the whole song, and, like, we did it in a very, like, do-it-yourself way. Like, I played all the guitar parts and everything, and, like, I had friends remotely record drums and bass and all this stuff, and we put it all together, and for the time, it was awesome. It was so cool, but I always felt like, looking at it back, I was like, the production didn't live up to what the song needed.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's your growth. And see, your ear is tuning in on what you really like, and it's going to keep on getting better.
Exactly. And it's always been a song that like has been a fan favorite at shows. And I'm like, okay, well, if this song isn't dead yet, and people still love it, we gotta just redo it with the people that I'm working with now. And that's exactly what we did.
Just what you did.
So we just did it, and the new version has been extremely well received, and we released it right around the time that we were heading out on tour. So we called our tour the Bad Night to Be a Beer Tour, and we're actually like still in the middle of the tour.
Yeah, because you go till what, June 3rd or something, right?
Yeah. We got tomorrow night we'll be in Saskatoon, and then Friday we'll be in Weyburn, and then Saturday we'll finish in Regina.
Cool.
So get to go back to Sask and see a bunch of friends and family, and yeah, it's just really exciting, and
exciting
it's been a wild ride.
Exciting time, and it's just the beginning of what you're going to be doing. So very cool. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Bad Night to Be a Beer by country artist Braden King here on Music's Journey.
1, 2, 3 Just like that in my 9 to 5, I'm already getting ready for another good time. Not a plan in the world but to live tonight, with a brand new case in my side. You know what we're gonna do. For us it ain't nothing new. See the sun.
Party.
skinny dipping off the rocks. When we get on the water, couldn't be any hotter.
That was Bad Night to Be a Beer by my very special guest, Braden King. Don't forget you can download your copy on all streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist. You can share it. You can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Very cool. Is there any other shows that you've got coming up or new music that's going to be coming out this year? You were talking about some other songs that you've guys got in the works.
Yeah, I think we'll have at least two more songs coming out this year, which is super exciting.
Very cool.
We're just kind of playing the singles game right now, just seeing, testing the waters and seeing what people are liking.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm super excited for the new music. Shows are not slowing down at all.
That's a good thing.
We finish our tour and then we're back out to Vancouver like 6 days later to go for a showcase, and then we've got Country at the Creek Festival. We've got some Calgary Stampede shows. We're playing a bunch of fairs and rodeos. And we're actually playing at Country Thunder Alberta this year, too, which is super exciting.
Very cool. That's a really good one.
You're gonna
gain some good fans on that show.
I hope so. And, now we're working on... we got a bunch of people in Manitoba and Ontario that are pretty mad that they weren't on this tour, so I think we're going to have to do something about that later this year.
Well, keep me informed and I will be happy to have you back on the show and play your new music.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Do you have time for a couple burning questions?
Of course.
All right. If you could perform on stage with one of your inspirations, who would that be and why?
I would say Hardy would be like the number one.
He's at the top of the list for everybody I've had on the show this last month, I think.
Really?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody loves him.
Oh, that is too cool. Yeah, he's just incredible. His songwriting is top notch. His musical direction just right up my alley, and I've listened to him on interviews and podcasts, and he just seems like an extremely down-to-earth guy, and sure hope our paths cross at some point.
I can't wait for you to meet Corey Marks.
Same here, honestly.
Can't wait for that.
It's actually really funny. At the time that we mixed that first version of Bad Night to Be a Beer in 2021, the song that we were playing on repeat and like taking like just inspiration from for the energy was actually Outlaws and Outsiders by Corey Marks.
Look at that song and look how well that song has done.
Exactly.
Insane.
It's crazy.
Told you. You never ever worry about that cookie cutter mold that you need to put into radio. You just, you know, so many of the greats in country music weren't liked by labels and were not liked by radio just simply because they didn't fit the mold. And look at those careers. Huge, huge careers.
Totally.
You write what you love and you write what suits you and what you're inspired by, what moves you, and you'll do well every time.
Well, I'm going to keep trying to do that.
There you go. One song that you wished you'd written?
Oh, that's just tough. I would say Waiting on the Thunder by Blackberry Smoke.
Wow.
Tabasco and Sweet Tea by the Cadillac 3, or Boots by Hardy.
Very cool. Well done on that pick. Very well done. Favorite moment in your career so far?
Oh, There are so many. Oh, man. That's crazy. I think one of the coolest was last summer. There are so many, but this one really stands out. Last summer, I played a show in Weyburn, my hometown, opening for Tennille Art and the Hunter Brothers.
That would be a big one.
It was huge. Mm-hmm. It was huge. And there was 5,000 people there. It was sold out. It was so cool. And when I played my set, there was maybe about 3,000 people there. Like, people were still rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, my mom was still alive, but she couldn't come to the show. But she was on FaceTime for the whole thing. She watched it.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was incredible. And the cherry on top was I was hanging out with Tennille before the show, and she decided that she would like to bring me out on stage during her set to play one of my songs by myself.
Nice.
In the middle of her set where there was 5,000 people.
So cool.
So
she's such a sweetheart. Yeah.
Oh, she's incredible. Funny enough, Tennille was at my first show ever when I was like 12.
Oh, no way.
It's
small
so
world. There you go.
So that was a pretty special moment. My mom got to see that. And, you know, that's just
so
pretty close
cool.
with me. And, yeah.
Very cool. Okay, saving the best one till last. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What is your best, most useless talent?
Most useless talent?
Yep.
Oh. Useless. What
useless
am I
talent. Even? I'm sure one of your bandmates would be able to tell
fast.
You. Oh, there you go. Okay.
I can chug a beer pretty fast. And that's, I do that most nights on stage during Bad Night to Be a Beer.
Oh, there you go. There
and,
you go.
yeah, just to show off that I have other talents.
That you have other talents. And then next time you hold up that beer, going, this one's for you, Kim. This is my most useless talent.
Exactly.
Well, it was great to have you on the show, and I look forward to having you back. Congratulations on Top 55. That's quite an accomplishment. And for your journey in music right now, you are going to do amazing.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure to talk with you.
We look forward to having you back.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been a real pleasure. Say hi to Beamer for me if you're talking to him. I miss
him. Oh, I will for sure.
All right. You take care. It's been great talking to you.
You too.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Braden King, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing The Commoners, Dustin Bird, Aaron Allen, Jason Benoit, Madeline Merlot, Tim Hicks, Griffin Palmer, David Boy James, Tegan Gaze, Jay Coote, winner of The Voice, is back with another special song. We've got Mike Whiteside, Jade Eagleson, The Heels, New Moon Junction, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons, Lighthouse, Rock Icons, The Stampeders, Ty Wilson, Rock Band, Harm and Ease, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.